seated. I pray that I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd just got back in on Thursday evening from work, reasonably late, and the telephone rang. And a lady was on the other end asking if it was me. And she said, my son, who's one of Hannah, my daughter's climbing partners, my son's just had a text message from Hannah, who, as you know, is in Africa working in a hospital there. And all the text message said was, send help. So how did we... Well, Jenny was away. She was up at her mother's. So we just got this message, send help. Can you imagine how we felt and how Jenny felt when we got that information? Now, fortunately, it was a false alarm. Somebody had got hold of Hannah's phone in the canteen, was playing with it, and inadvertently sent a message. But you can imagine, just for the... It was about an hour before we found out. And Hannah just, somebody was playing with the phone, it's okay. You know, no problem. Can you imagine then just how Jairus must have felt? Something like that. His daughter was dying. He was at his wit's end, and he didn't know what to do. What could he do? His daughter was there. She was dying. He was desperate. And Jesus rolls up into town. He's just healed a paralytic. He's healed a demoniac. He's calmed the storm. And Jairus is thinking, maybe he can help. But he's in a difficult position. Because he's the synagogue ruler. And word is already getting through the Jewish authorities that Jesus should be given a wide berth. And under normal circumstances, Jairus would have just let Jesus come, hoped nothing happened, and then let him pass by. But this isn't a normal circumstance. You know, just like I did what I needed to do to find out what was going on, Jairus thinks, I'm going to see Jesus. I actually don't care what the authorities think. I'm going to see Jesus. So he goes to see Jesus. And there's a massive crowd around Jesus. Massive. And he has to push his way through to the front. And he sort of muscles his way in eventually. And he just falls down on his face in front of Jesus and said, Jesus, please come and help. And perhaps to his surprise, Jesus says, okay, let's go. And so they set off. And they're just about setting off, just about walking off. And you can imagine Jairus now, a bit more relieved, still doesn't know what's going to happen, but at least something's happening, progress has been made. You know, he feels as if he's a bit more in control of the situation. They're just setting off, and all of a sudden, Jesus stops. And Jairus is in mid-sentence, telling him about his daughter, how great she is. And Jesus says, who touched me? And Jairus says, what are you going on about? You must be mad. It's like a rugby scrum in here. It's the Harrod Sale. You know, it's like somebody scored a goal in the World Cup, if ever. What do you mean? Who's touched me? And Jesus said, no, somebody's touched me. And we know the story. The woman comes, and realizing that nobody else is going to own up, the woman comes to the front, and you can imagine her just sort of shambling around to the front, eyes cast down, wondering what on earth is going to happen. And she says, it was me. And the crowd must think, well, Jesus must know who this is. Everybody knows who this is. Who touched me? Was it his clothes? So I think this morning we need to do a little experiment, and I need a couple of helpers. Yep. All right then. Come here. One more helper. Yep. So I thought we'd see what Jesus was wearing. Whoops. And see if we can feel the touch. So. Now, this might be a bit big for you, because it's mine. Actually, could you just stand there and just hold that for me a minute? That's it. Brilliant. Whoops. Right, so you will come out with this eventually at the top end, Rachel. Are you there? Whoop, I can see somebody. Right, there we are. Now, we just have to find the arms. There we go. Right, that's one.
Wow.
No, you missed it. There we go. Right. That's not bad. Whoops, just did that a minute. There we go. And he might have been wearing... We don't really know what he was saying. Interesting that Matthew, who was a really good Jew, talks about the tassels on his garment. So it might have been a tallit. This isn't a tallit. Right, so let's turn around. Whoop, whoop. Here we go. Brilliant. Right, now you need to close your eyes. That's right. Now, you three need to come round here. Have you got your eyes closed? Good. Now, I want each of the three of you just touch the hem of the garment here. Very gently. Yeah? Somebody else? Somebody else? Now, could you feel that? No. You can't feel when somebody touches your garment. So if it's not the clothes, it must have been something about the man that was wearing them. It must have been something about Jesus. Brilliant. Thanks a lot. Do you want to keep that on for a bit? Or shall I take it off? Here we go. So if it's not about the clothes, it must be about... Thank you, you can sit down now. Thank you for your help. It must be about Jesus. And Jesus just turns to the woman and he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. You know, go back to living in the community. There couldn't have been a bigger difference between Jairus and the woman and their encounters with Jesus. Jairus was a man, he was a synagogue ruler. He was like the senior steward. He was the you know, chairman of the PCC. He was the layperson who ran the synagogue. A man of the society, a man known in the community, clearly a devout Jew, would have known the Torah and all the rules in Leviticus about cleanliness and uncleanliness. And he had status. The woman, because she was a woman, had less status than a man who was a man, but she was also ritually unclean and was an outcast from the community. One comes to Jesus face to face and falls down on his face, asking for himself, but also asking for his daughter. And also, the woman, comes creeping up from behind just to touch the hem of a garment. Huge difference in the encounters of how people approach Jesus. Now, you can imagine Jairus while all this is going on. Come on, Jesus, you know, this is fine, but we need to crack on. And then people come from his house to say, actually, your daughter has now died. You know, what's he thinking about Jesus? Look, if only you'd, you know, if you hadn't got held up, things might have been different. But Jesus then he ignores what people are saying, goes with Jairus, goes to the house, shoos everybody away, the professional mourners, the people who are the gainsayers, you know, the people who are laughing about what's going on, people who don't take it seriously, people who scoff at religion, shoos them all out, talks to the girl, Talitha Kum, which is the equivalent of, it says it very officially in the Bible, Talitha is just like, it's a little kid, it's a kid goat, and it's like, you know, the French say mon chou for my little cauliflower. It's that kind of colloquialism. And the reason it's in Aramaic in the Bible is because what it says is, hey darling, just get up, come on sweetheart, get up. It's not saying abracadabra, because healing is not magic. He says to her, just get up. And she gets up, and she is healed. Now the woman who's come to Jesus and Jairus both come in fear, uncertainty, doubt, but with just a grain of faith that if there's nothing else that can happen, maybe Jesus can help. Jesus doesn't turn to them and say, well, you only ever come and speak to me when you're in need. You only ever seem to want to pray to me when, you know, there's a desperate need going on. He doesn't say that at all. And it's the same to us. He doesn't care whether we come to him and meet him face to face. He doesn't care whether we're asking for ourselves or for somebody else. He doesn't care how we approach him. Whether we're just grasping out to something that is around him, like his garments. time after time after time, or whether we're just going to him in our time of need. Jesus responds by his touch and his presence. He transforms the situation that he is encountered with. He transforms the life of the woman. He transforms the life of Jairus. He transforms the life of that community. Because after that's happened, clearly the synagogue's never going to be the same again. And for ourselves, however we come to approach Jesus, whether it's face to face, on our knees, grasping out to him, a last desperate lunge, because we don't think anything else can work and we're not sure if this will. Jesus responds, reaches out to touch us, and transforms our lives and every situation that we're in. Amen.
I'm sure Sam looks very fetching in that outfit.
I've also got the headgear as well.
Woo! So we're going to stand now and sing a beautiful Wesley hymn, number 79, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies.